Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll begin today with politics and the final push toward Election Day in the race for the U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. Incumbent Republican Scott Brown is barnstorming across the state in a big blue bus, presenting himself as the state's independent voice.
For her part, the Democratic challenger Elizabeth Warren will be rallying this evening in New Bedford, where she will try to drum up union support and press her populist message about jobs, taxes, and equal pay.
Joining us now are WBUR's Fred Tice and Monica Brady Meyerhoff, who've been covering the race for a while now. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
You're welcome.
Glad to be here.
So let's talk about the messages coming from these candidates in these final days. Fred, you've been with Elizabeth Warren this week. What's her message?
Essentially, it's to nationalize the race, right? It's to say any vote for Scott Brown is a vote to make Mitch McConnell the Senate Majority Leader. And that's pretty much it. I mean, there's a second message that the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee has been trying to get out in all the races where they're running women against Republicans, and that is that the Republicans are against women. And so Warren has been coming back to that message.
And you both caught up with Scott Brown today. He was campaigning with Maine Senator Susan Collins. Monica, what are we hearing from Scott Brown these days?
Well, we're hearing a lot of him saying, vote for the person, not the party. And you can see this right on his big blue bus that he's traveling around the state in. It says, as you noted, independent voice. It doesn't say Republican Senator Scott Brown. So in these final days, he's really pushing his bipartisanship, and Senator Collins from Maine plays right into that because she is the most bipartisan senator in the Senate, and Brown is the second most. So she stressed how important that is to keep him in the Senate, keep an independent voice there. And Brown spoke today before a crowd at a restaurant in Framingham, and he told them,
don't go to bed on November 6th wishing you had done more, that you lost an advocate for small business, for job creators, for people who are trying to be problem solvers, not rep-throwers in Washington. Somebody who is from here, who was brought up here, married a local girl, Waltham girl, kids were born here, and care very deeply about our state.
So playing that local boy card very hard. Fred, Elizabeth Warren's big event later today is going to take place in New Bedford, where she's going to try to rally union support. What's at stake for her there?
Well, I think Democrats are very much aware that 2 years ago, Martha Coakley lost in part because she couldn't drum up the support of the rank and file of union members. Of course, she had the endorsement of the unions, but the AFL-CIO did an exit poll of its membership and found that 49% of them had voted for Scott Brown. They've been spending a lot of time trying to change this around. You hear a lot of confidence on the Warren side and also among the labor leaders. The question is, are they going to be able to peel off some of those rank-and-file union voters and get them away from Scott Brown and get them to vote for Elizabeth Warren this time around?
All right, so that's what's going to be going on in New Bedford tonight. Now, one of the issues that's emerged in these final days is the fate of that fourth debate, which was scheduled for Monday but never happened because of Hurricane Sandy. And I should say right up front here that WBUR is part of the consortium that was going to host that debate, that was sponsoring that debate. Elizabeth Warren is saying she'd like that final debate, trying to cast Brown as resisting. What's going on? Let me start with you, Monica.
Well, on Monday, when I was at the emergency bunker for Hurricane Sandy, Scott Brown said that he would be happy to move the debate to the next night or the next night. You know, he didn't mention that he had any conflicts, but that changed as the week went on.
Fred, and what did you observe?
Yeah, well, now we definitely have Warren trying to blame Brown. Here's what she said in Haverhill yesterday.
The consortium said, we'll do this on Thursday, and I immediately said, yes, that's fine. And Senator Brown said no to all dates. I think that speaks for itself.
Yes. Speaks for itself, does it?
Well, not completely, because the Warren camp did not say that they wanted to do a debate last night until Brown had made it clear that he would not do a debate. So first he comes out and he says he doesn't want to debate Thursday night. All of a sudden, the Warren campaign tells the consortium, hey, we'll do a debate on Thursday night. So it seems that neither side was really very interested in having a final debate.
And as we are, and as we stand here today, there will be no fourth debate, right?
No fourth debate.
All right. Well, let's talk about the latest ads. Both the candidates have released new political ads set to what sound like motion picture scores. Senator Brown's latest ad positions himself as an independent voice amidst a sea of Washington partisans, asking people to vote for the man, not the party. Here's an excerpt.
Every day I hold this office, I will give all that is in me to serve you well and make you proud.
I've kept my promise to be an independent voice. I put people ahead of politics. And now I need your help to keep that independent tradition alive in Massachusetts.
Meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren's campaign takes a slightly different tone, pushing her populist message. Here we go.
For all the families still struggling, all the people who deserve a decent job, and the women who deserve equal pay. For our kids crushed by student debt and our parents worried about Medicare, know this, my fight is for you.
So, Monica, one thing that strikes me, neither of those recent ads, the candidates don't mention each other in either one of them.
Nor do they mention any issues. As we hear from the Brown ad, I mean, he sounds like he's the superhero senator from Massachusetts with that swelling music, and they dip back to 2.5 years ago when he won the seat to get some footage and tape from that. It's all very uplifting and focused on him as an independent person, not getting bogged down with the issues or any attacks against Warren in these final days. He's really trying to push a positive message. You know, the majority of voters in Massachusetts are unenrolled. Now, he is a Republican senator, but that is his trump card in many ways, is that, you know, that he, if he plays that independent card hard, he is going to get a lot of support with that.
If he gets enough of those independent voters, then, I mean, that's clearly what he needs to do. Fred, as far as we know, this race remains very close. What's going to make the difference in these final days? What are you looking at? What are the big themes that are waiting to emerge?
Brown is trying to make this appeal as the independent candidate and relying on the independent-mindedness of Massachusetts voters, the fact that he crosses over. That, I think, is the big theme that he's trying to get across. Warren, on the other hand, is counting on turnout. She wants to make sure that the Democratic Party, which outnumbers Republicans 3-1 in registration here, does its job this time around, unlike in 2010, and actually gets its voters out. And they're trying to get out those Democrats that don't vote in every election. In fact, the Democrats that have not voted in the last 3 state elections, those occasional Democrats. And that would overwhelm Brown by their calculation.
Particularly with President Obama on top of the ticket in a state that favors Obama fairly heavily, that's got to work to her advantage in this case, right?
You would expect that she's playing on home turf here, yeah.
Well, we'll see. A few days to go. WBUR reporters Monica Brady Meyerhoff and Fred Tice, thanks so much to both of you for coming in today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Glad to do it.
Well, stay with us because up next we'll take a closer look at why such a ferocious fight's going on at the national and state level for female voters. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.